In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh yes, Saul was converted by the presence of God when the Shekinah glory came upon him. Saul, who was persecuting Christians and put his thumbs down when it meant Stephen to die. Oh yes, God can do anything. He can raise a sinner like Saul into a man of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You might be a sinner like Saul. Don't fret. God wants to change you. How does he change you? By his love. Not by your trying, but by his love. You just need the love of God. We all need the love of God. Let's continue with Acts 9, verse 19. For several days Saul was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues. Remember that salvation is to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Saul went into the synagogues and preached Jesus as the Son of the living God, as the one who gave his life for sinners, as the one who rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He was in the synagogue saying that Jesus is the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoke this name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Christ equals Messiah. Oh, yes. He had a revelation from God. He saw Jesus Christ. The light of glory flooded him. And now as he preaches, he's getting stronger and stronger to preach the word of God about Jesus, Messiah. Verse 23, chapter 9. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill Saul. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. He must be a little guy. If he goes into a basket, I'm sure the basket was big, but he must be a little guy. He had a big heart and a big mouth proclaiming the lordship of Jesus. How we need people like Saul. How we need people like Saul to go out and to proclaim the word of God. How we need people like Saul. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Why were they afraid of him? They were afraid of him because he killed Christians. For they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, took him, brought him to the apostles and described for them now on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. What other name are we going to preach but the name of Jesus? I want to tell you, I know somebody named Jim, who is a grandfather, who sent his grandchildren to Catholic schools, and most of them lost their faith. Most of them lost their faith. How sad. How sad that a Catholic college would be a person or a people that would throw down faith in Jesus Christ. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Boldly. Oh, yes, the Jews prayed for boldness in the fourth chapter of Acts of the Apostles. Saul, named Paul, got the boldness. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, the Greeks, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. When there is a move of the Holy Spirit, I tell you, people change. People come. Oh, yes, because the Holy Spirit is present. Through his presence, people come and people get changed. They call that revival. I don't care what you call it. We need it. We need it in these last days when everything that is right is said to be wrong and everything that is wrong is said to be right. Oh, yes, that was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet, and he spoke that there would be a time when everything that was right would be declared wrong. Abortion, gay marriage, that's not right, that's wrong. And it was declared what? Declared right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's sad that we're living in that kind of time. It's sad that a child of 9 years old can say, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl, and wear girls' clothes. How sad. How sick. How sick we have become as a people who have divorced ourselves from the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down also to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. And immediately he got up, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. I tell you, miracles happen so that people will turn to the Lord. How we need miracles to happen today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. God wants to do miracles. God wants to do signs. I was told by Father Matt that on Easter Vigil they prayed with two people, with a man who was loaded with cancer. The cancer is gone. Cancer is gone. How we need that God would do these things, because he was labeled as going to die. I believe it was fourth stage cancer. And just a simple prayer on the holiest of nights, God healed the man. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Praise God. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs, since Lydda was near Joppa. The disciples who heard that Peter was in Joppa sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping, and showing tunics that Dorcas had made. Peter put them all outside. Why? Because they're into sobbing. He wants faith. So Peter has the faith. And what's going to happen? And when he knelt down and prayed, he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. You see, when the great miracles happen, many believe in the Lord. You see, we need great miracles. That is a sign of evangelization. St. Thomas Aquinas said to his brothers, if you go into a town and they do not hear and give their life to Jesus, raise the dead. That's Thomas Aquinas, the philosopher. Raise the dead. I tell you, if raising the dead is going to bring people to Jesus, we need raising the dead. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with certain Simon the tanner. Very interesting. A tanner was unclean, and now Simon is with an unclean person, business. Chapter 10. In Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort. I've always said the first Gentile convert was an Italian, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at the angel in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Not only your prayers, but the money that you gave to build up the church." Oh, yes. "Now send men to Joppa." Who's in Joppa? Peter is. "For a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is beside the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him, and after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. Oh, yes. Who's in Joppa? The Apostle Peter. Oh, yes. The Word of God says, the only thing people needed was that the shadow of Peter would fall on them and they would be healed. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air, all unclean animals. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean. The voice said to him again a second time, what God has made clean, you must not call unclean or profane. This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing at the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, look, three men are searching for you. Now get up and go down and go with them without hesitation. They're Gentiles, for I have sent them. So Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for your coming? They answered, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear what you have to say. So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, stand up, I am only a mortal man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had been assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. The vision that he had. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, at the very hour at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house. Then suddenly, a man with dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Not only his prayer, but his money given to the Jews. Oh, yes. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon the tanner by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. Isn't that wonderful? Not it's a nice day. Temperature is cold today. Not anything foolish like that. But what do you think Peter is going to do? He's going to preach the gospel to unclean Gentiles. But they're not unclean at all. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and done what is right is accepted by him. Anyone who fears him and does the right thing is accepted to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John was announced. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death, and by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day, he's preaching the gospel, and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. This is God. This is God. What do you think is going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was ordained by God as judge of the living and judge of the dead. All the prophets testify about him. All the prophets testify to Jesus. Everything from Genesis to Revelation testifies to Jesus. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in Jesus receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. What was happening with these Gentiles? They're speaking in other languages. They're prophesying. They're seeing visions. This is what Joel says. Oh, yes, not only to the Jew, but to the Greek. Not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile. For they heard him speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Why? They want to know more. They want to know more about Jesus. Oh, yes. Do you want to know more about Jesus? Not intellectually. I'm talking about your heart. Do you want to know more about Jesus? Then give him your life. Give him your life. How do I do that? Lord, I give you my life. I want to serve you. Forgive my sins. I repent of them. I want to serve you. Chapter 11 of the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, why did you go to an uncircumcised men and eat with them? Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step. He's going to explain the vision that he had. I'm telling you, it's time for the church to preach Jesus Christ like Peter, like Paul. It's time for you to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ like Peter and Paul. God wants people. Faith comes by hearing. You are the one that God wants to use. How do I get used? You share what Jesus has done for you. You share the power of his name. You share all that Jesus did in you. Has he changed you? Oh, yes. Jesus changes people through the Holy Spirit. He changes people. In Jesus' name, be changed by the power of the cross. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It is time for God's people to pray that God would send out more messengers to proclaim the risen Savior, to proclaim his death, burial, and resurrection. It starts with you. You've got to go out and share what God has done for you. You've got to go out and share. Do it with love, but do it. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.